Hello and welcome to People in Profit. I'm Charles Pellegrin. This week, we look at Donald Trump's first 100 days back in power and what it means for business. The milestone might seem arbitrary, but the president of the United States said it himself at a rally before his inauguration, promising, in his own words, the best first day, the biggest first week, and the most extraordinary first 100 days of any presidency in American history. Whether it's a raft of tariffs slapped on the whole world and then partially rolled back, a dizzying flurry of executive orders that are reshaping how businesses operate, or the unprecedented efforts to downsize the U.S. federal government, we'll discuss all of it with Isabel Guzman. She is the founder of Avenida Advisors, was the administrator of the Small Business Administration during the Biden presidency, and it also chairs the Global Risk Advisory Council, which maps out and assesses reputational risks for companies. Isabella, thanks for being with us on France 24.
My pleasure to be here.
Well, before we get to your thoughts on those 100 days, let's begin with a quick look back. Trump ran in large part on a pledge to make America wealthy again, promising that his tariffs, for most economists, a vestige of the 19th century, would return manufacturing jobs to America and trigger a stock market boom. Instead, the stock market has seen its worst performance in half a century, and Americans are bracing for a supply shock amid a mounting global trade war. Brian Quinn takes a look.
Donald Trump ran for office promising a boom like no other. 100 days in, he's driven the U.S. and global economies to the edge of crisis. In the immediate afterglow of his inauguration, the S&P 500 rose to an all-time high as investors predicted deregulation and tax cuts.
You're witnessing the dawn of the golden age of America. That's what it's going to be. We're bringing it back.
By late April, the benchmark index was down nearly 8%, its worst performance for a new administration since Richard Nixon's. Most of those losses came in the immediate wake of Trump's April 2nd Liberation Day, when he unveiled massive reciprocal tariffs on U.S. trading partners around the world. Trump's aim to reorder the system of global trade and bring manufacturing back to American shores with hefty import taxes. Those tariffs have compelled some firms to announce major investments in U.S. production facilities, companies like TSMC, Hyundai, and SoftBank. But they're almost certain to result in higher prices for Americans, just when inflation was nearing the Federal Reserve's 2% target.
One of Trump's pledges was to bring prices down. However, the tariffs kind of do the opposite. The tariffs actually make things more expensive.
Business leaders have lobbied the president hard for tariff exemptions and reversals, with some success. But that, too, has had consequences. Trump's constantly shifting policies have left companies unsure of where to invest, unable to plan for the future. The turmoil has hit not just the stock market, but the U.S. Treasury bond market as well, with investor flight from the quintessential safe haven asset signaling a broad loss of confidence in the U.S.'s position as the center of the global economy. Trump has been signaling a climb down from some of his harshest trade policies, but the damage may already be done. The IMF has downgraded both U.S. and global growth projections for the year.
Just some fresh data now on the back of that story. The first quarter GDP figures for the U.S. economy have come in, and economic activity actually fell 0.3% in the first quarter of the year. So let me turn to you, Isabel Guzman. When you look at these first few months of this Trump administration, what's your main takeaway?
Uncertainty. There's been uncertainty for business, and this has been a challenge across the board, across industries, as businesses are trying to navigate these changes in this uproar that we've been seeing in the marketplace as well. And clearly, as we've gathered among the council to assess some of the reputational risks, they're interwoven in some of the challenges we're seeing in the economy around, around the tariffs, around the massive changes in federal government and the great programs that have been implemented in the past, seeing those in the decline.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about trade to begin with and those tariffs. Can the world actually come back from this? Is this the end of globalization as we know it?
I think all those things are still hard to predict at this point, and we're seeing, you know, changes every day in the U.S. in terms of where the directionally we're going to be headed on these tariffs. But clearly, the order has changed in terms of the U.S.'s presence in markets abroad and reputational risks as well for American companies, American brands doing business globally. And I think, you know, those repercussions are going to be felt regardless. But I think it is still early to be able to really determine what the lasting impact and what the final determination is going to be of this administration on tariffs.
And what do you think? Can the U.S. actually bring back all those manufacturing jobs to American shores? And I guess the second question is, should they?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's what's been debated. And I do think, you know, you see this massive impact of businesses on all scale. And of course, in my space of small business, you know, over a million businesses export abroad, small businesses, and as well, you know, two-thirds depend on imports in some frame or another. They are small manufacturers as well. And manufacturing is strong in many industries around this country. But, you know, clearly to be able to bring back all that manufacturing would be a long-term build, a long-term challenge, and you know, the efficiency of whether or not we can bring back those manufacturing jobs at the same efficiency levels of what they're done abroad is a question. I do believe that, you know, this is a goal of the administration. Of course, they've stated that they want to bring those manufacturing jobs, recognizing, of course, that advanced manufacturing, AI, is going to determine how many jobs is really going to be brought back with that. But many people doubt whether or not that's possible and whether or not that's a good thing for our economy. You know, we've definitely focused on certain industries that the United States should lean into in terms of chips, bringing back some of that manufacturing. And that's been good for the economy under the Biden-Harris administration. But it remains to be seen whether or not we can do anything further.
Can you explain what you mean by efficiency? You mentioned it a couple of times there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and you see it. Businesses here have tried to work with smaller manufacturers or manufacturers of certain products, but we've definitely seen that the pricing structures, the model of manufacturing, importing certain parts or certain goods abroad where they're manufactured more efficiently in markets, whether that's labor issues or natural supply, we're just not seeing. We're not able to find manufacturers who are able to compete with some of those manufacturers abroad here.
So you used to be the head of the Small Business Administration under Joe Biden, and we've actually seen small businesses sue the Trump administration for its use of executive orders in passing those tariffs, saying that was overreach. What is it that small businesses need from a government?
Well, I mean, I think for small businesses in particular around tariffs and trade, I mean, they are this dramatic shift has really impacted them negatively. They can't sustain a short-term pain period in order to see manufacturing come back, if it can be brought back at all. It's a life and death situation for them. Many of them have cash flows that are less than 30 days, and so they can't sustain and be able to, you know, take their business through to the next level. And so for them, you know, they moved forward, many of them joined together to try to, you know, stop some of these tariffs. They've so far, continue in the courts to determine whether or not that's a possibility. But, you know, I think for small businesses in particular, the uncertainty, the challenges, the lack of cash flow to be able to sustain any losses or shift their supply chains to anywhere globally to respond to tariffs in certain countries is really a challenge.
There's been a crackdown from the Trump administration on diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, what's referred to as DEI. And many large corporations actually followed suit, especially in the first days of the administration, scaling back a number of their policies in favor of social or environmental causes. How does that actually play in terms of these companies' reputations?
So as companies are looking to expand in markets in the United States, you know, take into account their diverse workforces, their diverse marketplaces as well, and these emerging communities with tremendous buying power, you know, the DEI initiatives were really meant to help better position some of these firms to compete in the marketplaces here in the U.S. And so, you know, truly firms are going to have to look instructively at their values, at their marketplaces, at their workforce to determine strategies moving forward. But you know, these issues remain, whether or not you know, DEI-labeled programs continue. The challenges, the programs that address some of those challenges will have to be designed and continued in some way. And so I do think you know, this is a time when you know, organizations, institutions need to really reflect on you know, their values and their future outlook and which marketplaces they want to lean into. And so, you know, I know this is a challenging situation in the media markets and why it's high on our risk in terms of the top three risks that the council has determined companies need to navigate. But I find that as they lean into, you know, what is core to their business and plan a path forward, it has to be partly inclusion, and it has to be about making sure that you know, companies are safe places for everyone to work.
One other risk that was outlined in that council's report was association with Elon Musk, the head of the Department of Government Efficiency, which leads me to my last question. Can government actually be run like a business? And does this move fast and break things, Silicon Valley startup mentality actually apply to the U.S. federal government?
I would propose that not exactly. You know, you definitely need that sustainability of many of these programs. I think you know, lack of understanding of the complexity of some of these programs has led to some you know, rash decisions that had to be reversed, and that's unfortunate. I do believe that you know, what was being said in this index around the reputational risks with Elon Musk really spread to you know, political issues overall in this. State of the United States, where we're definitely seeing tensions, divides that are quite wide. And so leaning into any specific political issue, whether it's Elon Musk or any other, is a dangerous you know, pathway for so many firms. You know, you really have to be careful as they enter into these dialogues and conversations. And I know that you know, at the SBA, for example, we completely scaled to be able to respond to the COVID disaster and had some massive changes around technology investments and restructuring. But there's a way to do that in government that allows for you know, careful change within programs to ensure sustainability and ensure that we're not negatively impacting anybody.
Isabel Guzman, you are the former head of the Small Business Administration during the Biden administration. You're also the chair of the Global Risk Advisory Council. Thank you so much for sharing your insights on France 24.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. Who knows, though, what will happen in Trump's next 100 days in office? We might have to do another show then. In the meantime, follow People in Profit on the podcast platform of your choice and stay tuned to France 24.